He was the youngest, and from that nearly everything in his life would follow. And not only was he the youngest, he was also unexpected, an accident. Beginning in 1915, with the birth of Joseph Patrick Kennedy Jr., Kennedy children arrived at 1 or 2 year intervals for the next 10 years and 6 more babies. Rose Kennedy said that after the birth of Robert Francis Kennedy in 1925, her friends gently chided her against having any more, and she seemed to agree. But 3 years later, Jean Kennedy arrived, which Rose said made her even more skittish about her passel of children. After Jean's birth, Joseph Sr., apparently anticipating no more offspring, named the family yacht the Ten of Us, and he warned his wife that if she had another child, he would give her not the customary trip to Europe that had followed each birth, but a black eye. But in February 22, Washington's birthday, almost 4 years to the day of Jean Kennedy's birth, Edward Moore Kennedy arrived to 41-year-old Rose Kennedy, not only the youngest, not only unexpected, but an afterthought. And more than an afterthought. One Kennedy biographer surmised that he was reparation for Kennedy's torrid affair with the film star Gloria Swanson, whose career Kennedy had guided, and amends to his wife after the affair had ended. By that time, Joseph and Rose were intimate only infrequently, by most accounts, but the couple rendezvoused in the spring of 1931 at the Homestead Resort in Hot Springs, Virginia, after Joseph's 4-month winter vacation at Palm Beach, Florida, and spent a few days together before Joseph left alone for New York. Edward was born 9 months later. Despite her husband's threat, Rose still got her European trip shortly after the birth. For the youngest, the circumstances surrounding the birth were an augury both of the family traditions to which he would be obligated and of the negligence with which he would often be treated. Though the family lived in Bronxville, New York at the time, Rose insisted he be born at St. Margaret's Hospital in Dorchester, Massachusetts, so he could be delivered by Dr. Frederick Good, who delivered each of his siblings. She recuperated in Dorchester for 2 weeks, near her parents, since Joseph hadn't attended the birth or provided any emotional support, but instead had retreated once again to Palm Beach. There was no need keeping Joe around in the winter, not in the middle of February, for a baby, Rose later told her ghostwriter, with a certain dismissiveness toward her new child. But she said that her husband had meals sent to her from the Ritz Hotel via taxi because he felt so sorry for me being in a hospital. And if the baby was an afterthought, so too was his name. Edward Moore was a family retainer, a one-time secretary to Rose's father, John Fitzgerald, when Fitzgerald was mayor of Boston, which is when Joseph Kennedy met Moore back in 1912. Moore continued in the position under mayors James Michael Curley and Andrew James Peters before accepting a job with Joseph Kennedy as his counselor, after which, according to historian and Kennedy family chronicler Doris Kearns Goodwin, the bond between the two men proved inseparable. But counselor may have been both too august and too limited a word for what Moore did for Joe Kennedy. Eddie Moore became his closest friend, Rose would say of Moore's relationship to her husband, someone he trusted implicitly in every way and in all circumstances. His wife Mary became an equally great friend, confidant, and unfailing support for me. So close were the Kennedys and the Moores that Joe sold them his Brookline, Massachusetts house on Beale Street in March 1920, which had the advantage of bringing them from Charlestown, where they had lived with Mary Moore's mother, to just around the corner from the Kennedys' new house, where they could be on call in case Joe needed them. Still, for all the talk of friendship, the relationship was hardly one of equals. Edward Moore served Joseph Kennedy. He was, as Time magazine put it, nurse, comforter, stooge, package bearer, advisor, who played games with Joe and the children, bought neckties and bonds for Joe, opened doors, wrote letters, investigated investments, saw to it Joe wore his rubbers. One Kennedy biographer called him a valet, another a flunky. One of Joseph Kennedy's granddaughters said that the childless Moore's duties included being an occasional babysitter. A more important duty was to provide cover for Joe Kennedy. According to Joseph Kennedy biographer David Nassau, Kennedy and Moore set up a real estate company, Fenway Building Trust, after World War I, in which Joe owned 98% of the shares, but Moore was assigned the task of convincing two women to sell their real estate to the company for notes that were then used to buy more real estate. Another biographer said Kennedy used Moore's name to hide Wall Street transactions, with which he didn't want to be publicly associated. And Kennedy used Moore as a cover in other ways. He was a beard for Kennedy, so that even Rose Kennedy said Joe told her that he kept Eddie around when he was signing contracts with some of these dames, as he used to say, and then he'd, Joe, you know, get framed and get into difficulties. And if Edward Moore was a beard, he was a procurer for Kennedy, and the Kennedy sons, too. As a Harvard student, John Kennedy had his father's administrator, it could only have been Moore, find girls for him and five friends for a bacchanal at Cape Cod, after which John fretted over whether or not he had gotten the clap. But Joe Kennedy enjoyed Moore not just for his service, which was slavish, or his loyalty, which was total, but for his sociability. "Irish is a clay pipe," Time wrote of him, and Edward Kennedy himself would say that his father cherished Eddie's convivial soul. During a 1932 train tour in support of Franklin Roosevelt's presidential candidacy, a trip on which Moore accompanied Kennedy, Roosevelt advisor Raymond Moley remarked on Moore's infinite capacity to make friends, though vaudevillian Eddie Dowling, who was on the same tour, thought the amiability was tempered by his servility. "He never stopped telling me and anybody else that would listen about the greatness of Joseph P. Kennedy,"